After the resurrection, Jesus meets his disciples in Galilee, and he gives us these marching orders, orders you just heard. Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. Is this commission familiar to you? Are these marching orders central to the practice of your faith? As one preacher has noted, Jesus' last words to his followers were not, "Go and find a comfortable church and have covered dish dinners." His last words were not, "Go and sing the songs you like and worship." Jesus didn't say, "Try to do some good every once in a while." Jesus said, "Go and make disciples." So what does Jesus mean? Well, that call to go and disciple the nations implies that sharing in Jesus' mission will often take us across cultural boundaries. Jesus earlier told his disciples to go only to Israel, not to the Gentiles, in their preaching of the kingdom. Here he revokes that earlier limitation. The call to baptize means more than the sprinkling of water over infants. Given the cultural context, it might be better understood as evangelism. You see, in Matthew's day, Jewish people baptized Gentiles who converted to Judaism. And because baptism could function as an act of conversion, this part of discipling the nations involves calling people to respond, calling people to respond to the good news of the kingdom. The call to teach, more specifically to teach obedience, might be seen as making disciples through Christian education. But I think it means more than just sermons or Bible studies. It's really about apprenticing people into a new way of living. After the resurrection, Jesus meets his disciples in Galilee and gives us these marching orders. Go and make disciples of all nations. So what's your reaction to this command, this order? I mean, did you feel a sort of physical withdrawal from it? I mean, crossing cultural boundaries and engaging those who are different is challenging. Sharing the good news story about Jesus is intimidating. Mentoring new believers is time-consuming. Most of us aren't too enthusiastic about this mission. Like the pastor observed, we are more interested in meeting with our Christian friends, singing our favorite hymns, and doing the odd good deed. So why? Why do we lack this interest in discipleship if it's so front and center? Well, I think it might have something to do with our theology. Most of us affirm the teaching that we are made in God's image. Most of us can recall those Bible stories which display Jesus' acceptance and love. I mean, "Let the children come to me, forbid them not." We remember that one, right? You may conclude from this selection of passages or stories that if God is love and we are all God's children, teaching others about Jesus, well, it's not that important, not really necessary. I mean, God loves them all anyways, right? The fact that you go to church to worship while they tinker in their garage or read the newspaper with a nice coffee, doesn't that sound delightful at this moment, is really insignificant, just a personal preference. But if you look at all of the Bible, not just certain selections, you'll realize that more than simply tell us about God's love, our faith teaches us also about the reality of sin. Consider what Living Faith, our church's statement about belief, says about sin. Sin alienates us from God. It offends the holiness of God, separates us from our Lord, and leads to spiritual death. It mars the divine image in us and infects our relationships with others and with ourselves. I think we too easily forget that that neighbor who spends his Sundays tinkering in his garage is alienated from God. Yes, he's a child of God, but that divine image has been marred. Without Christ, he will never reach his fullest potential as a human being. That we might reach that potential is why we celebrate Easter. God sent his only Son to deal with this alienation. Our sin was the reason Jesus was obedient to death on a cross. His resurrection means that there is forgiveness, even life. Listen again to Living Faith. All people fall short of God's standards and need salvation. God's way to salvation has been revealed in Jesus Christ. Through the death and resurrection of Christ, our sins are forgiven. Salvation means life, forgiveness, healing, wholeness. It comes from God's grace received through faith in Christ alone. I think that one of the reasons we don't engage in discipleship is that we don't really think it's necessary. But the philosophy, I'm okay, you're okay, is not what Christians believe. The full gospel tells us that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. But if one of the reasons we don't engage in discipleship is that we've forgotten the reason for Christ's death and resurrection, another reason is that we lack confidence in the gospel and our ability to share it. I mean, there are times when our faith just doesn't seem real to us. You might have noted in today's gospel lesson that when the 11 disciples saw Jesus, we are told that they worshiped, but some doubted. But some doubted. There are times when our faith doesn't seem real to us. But even when our faith feels secure and solid, most of us are afraid to share the good news. We're afraid to give our testimony, the story of our encounter with Christ. I mean, how am I supposed to relate to that biker who moved in next door? How do I find the right words to talk to my family about Jesus, especially when they've had some bad experiences with other evangelists? I've made so many mistakes. Can I really be a mentor for anyone? Well, even if we acknowledge that sharing the good news is necessary, we lack the confidence that we have the skills and training to participate in Jesus' plan. We say to ourselves, I'm no missionary. I'm no apostle or evangelist. I'm not one of those first disciples. I mean, I could never participate in this work. Well, if that's what you're thinking, just consider that situation when Jesus gave those first marching orders. One commentator has noted, the scene is one of near comic irony. I mean, Jesus is saying, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me, but nothing in the surroundings seems to support such a claim. If Jesus had been speaking to vast multitudes, rank upon rank, stretching towards the horizon, as far as the eye could see, with the Mormon Tabernacle Choir humming the Hallelujah Chorus in the background, perhaps it would seem plausible. What we are told, though, is Jesus is on an unnamed mountain in backwater Galilee with a congregation of 11, which is down from 12 the last week. And even some of them are doubtful, not sure why they have turned up for worship today. Well, those are the folks that Jesus was speaking to. Maybe not so different from us. These people, too, when you think about it, weren't communications experts. They didn't have their bachelor's degree in education. They were anglers, bureaucrats, rebels. And yet they responded to Jesus' call to make disciples. And now there are disciples in every corner of the world. So how on earth did they do it? Jesus' presence, the Holy Spirit. Jesus promised that he would be with them through their mission. If the gospel's understanding of sin and salvation makes discipleship necessary, then Jesus' promise makes it possible. And sure and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. One preacher shares a story about a woman who had a friend who was an addict. Her addiction was destroying everything she loved. Now, most people would have said, well, we need to pray that she gets the help she needs. But this is not what this woman did. She wrote her friend a letter telling her that she was going to lose everything, including her life, unless she went into treatment and received the help she needed. And then she wrote in her letter that the only one who could make her whole is Jesus Christ. So where did she get the power to write a letter like that? Jesus said, "Go and make disciples, and I will be with you always." Where do we get the power to teach our children and grandchildren about Jesus in an age where, well, it's just not favorable? Where do we get the power to apprentice baby Christians in the faith? Jesus said, go and make disciples, and I will be with you always. May we here, the community here gathered at St. Andrew's in 2019, step out in confidence and conviction, knowing that Jesus is still with us, and realizing that his life is what people around us desperately need. Amen.